And coming up, we have stories about nepotism gone wrong, toxic work environments, sports betting dilemmas, picky eaters, family favoritism, disrespectful restaurant employees, spicy reward stories, and cake reward stories, and a best of Redditor update story. That is a long one. Am I the astronaut for refusing to help my stepdaughter with her fashion career despite owning a fashion company? My stepdaughter Mia, 23, has been dreaming of working in the fashion world since she was young. I was married to her father when she was 15. She took many courses to work on herself, and I must say she's good at picking fabrics and colors. However, she isn't good at designing. She's a good stylist, but not a good designer. I started my business 16 years ago, and it was very small and low budget, but I was lucky enough to expand it to where it is now. Still not the biggest company out there, but big enough in my region. Part of my expansion plan was to hire other young designers, and my team and I are quite selective of who gets the job and who doesn't, because designs are products we sell. So it has to be good and pass the judgment of my team. This also means that I'm not the sole judge of who gets chosen. I prefer to hear what others have and decide with them. My husband asked me to have Mia as a designer in my company. From the very start, I knew Mia wasn't a good designer, but I told my husband to have her apply for the job and submit her papers for me and the team to look at, and we would examine her skills. I think he was surprised I said apply for it instead of an immediate yes, but he still told Mia, who sent a thank you text, for helping her. I don't know exactly my husband told her for her to send a thank you text, but I replied saying that I'll be waiting for her application along with the judges to examine her work constructively and wished her luck. I honestly don't know to this day if my husband lied to her or if she sent the text to guilt trip me. I have no clue. Anyway, her day came and no one thought her application was on par with our criteria, so she was sent an email that she was not accepted. Let's just say all hell broke loose from here. My husband told me about how this is nonsense and it was unfair that I didn't accept her. Hubby, you get a red flag for that. I told him that I'm not the sole decision maker and I have a system in place for new applicants, but he wanted me to bend the system for Mia. If I did that, my credibility with my employees would sink and I'd lose them eventually. Plus, if Mia got in, her fellow designers wouldn't respect her because she'd only get in for being my relative and not for her skills that are far behind her fellow designers. It is a huge risk for me ethically and financially to include Mia. My husband proceeded to tell me the list of courses and work Mia has done to achieve her dream. I told him I understood, but she still doesn't have the skills to meet our criteria and she could apply somewhere else and get accepted. Mia later sent me a long text of how I failed her and she doesn't want to see or hear from me anymore. Mia gets this. Update to answer frequent questions. 1. Can she be a stylist or assistant designer? Yes, if she applied, she can. However, designers get to choose their staff and team, not me. So it is up to the designer to let go of their current stylist or not, or add an extra stylist. 2. She didn't reach out to me. Her father did. So logically, I talked to her father. And when she went directly to me, I told her that she would be examined constructively so I wouldn't skyrocket her expectations. 3. Can she be an intern or an amateur designer? No, because we only hire established designers, not students. 4. Which is the most important, Mia didn't request help. She didn't request mentoring. She didn't request opinions. She requested a job at my business. That's an important one. 5. Since she wanted to keep it strictly business, I gave her just that, a very professional setup. I expected she'd fail. I wasn't 100% sure. As I already stated, there are judges. I believe that going through the process of professionalism, either getting accepted or rejected, is an experience and process everyone should have. Agreed. 6. Yes, I can hire anyone and overrule all my judges. I chose not to because I abide by my standards and morals. So while I technically can, bending my set of rules will mark my downfall and hurt my integrity in the industry and within myself. Okay, the original question here was, am I the astronaut for refusing to help my stepdaughter with her fashion career despite owning a fashion company? I think the title is a little bit misleading. I think the title would be more suited to be something like, am I the astronaut for not giving my stepdaughter a job at my design company, even though she's not good enough to work there. That would be a more applicable statement there. Either way, it is in TA. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. You're thinking, well, your son works at your business, though. Caden Thunder does work here, but Caden Thunder earned his job. and is here because he's good at his job. And I'm sure that he can tell you, I am no easier on him because he's my son and works here. If anything, I might be more critical. And I think that here, dad screwed up. And dad's expectation of his wife to bend the rules and basically sell out to give his daughter a job, even though she wasn't good enough to hack it there, probably says a lot about how she was brought up, right? This is probably a participation trophy kind of kid, and she expected to be handed this instead of to actually work for it. If she really wanted to earn this spot, it would have been a reach out in the beginning to say, hey, I'm just getting started in this, or even 2 years prior to say, look, this is where I want to go. You have experience. You have success in this. I would love to get some mentoring from you. And she would have had the opportunity to develop those skills, which as OP says, she's got some skills. She just doesn't have the design skill side of it. So she would have had an opportunity to improve this. Now she's closed herself off to the most valuable resource she has in her life. Her stepmom has seen success in the area of skill that she wants to be in. And rather than asking for her guidance, she asked her for a favor. And when that didn't come through, because it wasn't just her decision, she could have overrode everybody and vetoed them, like she said, but it would have harmed her business. It would have harmed her team. It would have caused all kinds of harm. Instead of asking for the help to actually grow and earn that spot, she just asked for a favor to undercut everybody. I applaud OP here for standing her ground and saying no. And if she wants to earn it, let her freaking earn it. She needs to earn it. She has so many opportunities here to be learning instead of just expecting to be given something. And she's going to be better for it in the long run. And that's hard for dad to see here, right? Because dad's only looking at the pain that she's receiving right now and what he's hearing. And I'm sure he's receiving an earful here, probably from her bio mom as well. But it is going to be better for her. Let your kids fail. Nothing teaches like failure. Nothing. Let them fail. I think you only learn how to succeed when you fail. You only appreciate and respect success and hard work when you fail. It is so much better for her. Unfortunately, OP, you got a bigger problem now. You've got a bigger problem now because now your hubby is going to be pissed off at you for a long time for not selling out to do his daughter a favor. And you know that's not the right thing, but this is going to cause bigger relationship issues for you that you're going to have to work through. And you're also getting a lot of insight into who your husband is now, whom you've been with for 8 years. So you ought to know this about him already, but it's a red flag. I understand wanting to make your kids happy, but this is there's short term versus long term, right? The short term favor that he was asking for his wife to do for her does not do her the most long term good. And I think as a parent, you have to look at the long game and say what ultimately is going to enrich their life. Not in this moment, not what's going to make them happy with me, but what is actually going to make their life better when I'm long gone. And he missed that opportunity. So dad, he's at least a two. I definitely shouldn't have done that. Is this a one? Is this a terrible human kind of thing? I think for getting pissed at his wife for not doing it, even though he probably at some level understands the impact of what that would have done to her business because she explained it to him, which ultimately would have impacted his life. And then in 5 years, when that business is tanked because she sold out her quality standards and his daughter has no place to work anyway, what good does it do? I think for sticking to this and for expecting her to sell out, for miscommunicating to his daughter, for puffing this up, and for getting mad that she didn't sell out here, I'm giving him a one. It is, I don't think he's evil. I think he was extremely misguided, and it was a terrible thing to do. And it's a terrible position to put your partner in. And now he's painted her out to be the villain here. Instead of taking this opportunity to teach his daughter a hard lesson, or to let his daughter learn a hard lesson, he's just made her the villain. She's the bad guy. And that's it. And now she's a victim. Now his daughter is just a victim of somebody just doing her wrong instead of appreciating or learning a damn thing. Title of the story is, Am I the Askinaut for Wanting to Quit My Job? For context, I work in a small public CPA office, and when I started there, I was on the administrative side. I thrived with all the tasks that were handed to me, so well that along with my admin side, they had eventually given me accounts receivable and HR duties without a pay raise. One day, an accountant had to leave for maternity leave, so I ended up taking on her accounting and payroll responsibilities, again, without a pay raise. No complaints from me at the time, as I wanted to learn accounting and payroll to be able to help move up in the small company. However, over time, I learned my direct supervisor was not the best teacher. I had to learn everything on my own through trial and error. Eventually, the accountant came back from maternity leave, and that's when everything changed. They moved her to my admin position and moved me into a new position they called special projects, but gave me a raise. This was essentially supposed to take the admin, accounting, and payroll side of things away from me so I could focus on the random projects for each of the four managers. Knowing how they blindsided the other accountant when she came back, we both agreed to secretly fill out a spreadsheet of our own tasks in case management ever started having a problem with us. Lo and behold, management started nitpicking at me first. The first meeting was with the owner. She came into my office and started berating me about a rumor she heard that wasn't even true. All of my coworkers could easily hear her, as she didn't bother taking it to a meeting room or even come to me in a calm manner to question the rumor. Before I knew what the issue was, I froze in my responses. For context, she heard I was complaining about a cabinet in my office that never got moved before I had to move in. In reality, I had made a joke to a coworker who came into my office that morning and asked about the cabinet and why it was still there. I simply joked back, "Didn't you hear? Only this side of the office is mine." Joking is part of my personality, but sometimes coworkers don't realize that, and rumors got around that I was complaining. That day I left crying and called out the next day with a stress migraine. Since then, I've had some flashback trauma from the past narcissist in my life, and I've been doing my best to heal from the new trauma she had just given me. As much as I wanted to quit after that, I stayed and hoped for the best. I laid low and got my work done. We eventually hired an accountant who was supposed to take my payrolls and accounting duties from me. She ended up quitting within a week due to a lack of training, no surprise, so I had to keep my payroll and accounting after all. Then they decided to hire two junior accountants since the staff accountant positions were not working out. This was to help the two senior accountants, meaning I am to keep my payroll and accounting duties even though I wasn't supposed to after W-2 season was over. About 2 weeks later, the founder pulled me into a private meeting and asked me why I seemed to be frustrated lately. I told him I was upset that the junior accountant role was not offered to me or the other girl, and that they basically set us up for failure. I expressed how learning under the senior accountants would have been very beneficial. I also let him know that I was overwhelmed with workload, as I still have all of my old job duties as well as my new ones on top of that. I said once these old duties are relieved from me, it would be less stressful. Nothing really came out of that meeting. Fast forward to yesterday. Three of the four managers pulled me into an impromptu meeting. I thought it was about invoicing, as they've expressed their interest in me taking over for the tax side of things. Boy, was I wrong. They started off by talking about budgets and ended up with how I don't meet what's budgeted for me. They said my hours don't match my pay rate and that I'm taking too long to do the tasks assigned to me. They mentioned how they don't micromanage and how there's miscommunication on my end. I suggested they take a look at my daily task list that I've been filling out in case this meeting were to happen. They laughed and said they didn't want to see it. However, they would like for me to continue filling it out and add the time frame it takes to get each job done. They came at me with every little problem they could think of. I mentioned how I was doing my best and the owner snapped back, "You're not though. I've seen your best and this isn't it." I just nodded. This got to the point where I asked if this was one of the three meetings to fire me. They laughed again and said, "No, we'd have you sign something stating that you attended that meeting." I don't believe them one bit. I left early crying and called in for a mental health day today. It's almost the weekend now, and I wrote two very lengthy letters to them. One is my resignation, and the other is constructive feedback I have for them. I want to gather my things on Monday morning and leave those three of the four managers each a letter. So I guess the question is, am I valid in the way I want to respond, or am I overthinking all of this?
Okay, so the
question, am I the Askinaut for wanting to quit my job? First of all, you can never be the asshole for feeling something, and wanting is a feeling, right? So just accept that right now. Whatever feelings you have, you're not an asshole for feeling them. It's what you do with them, how you process them, where you go with it. And last night, I actually came up with this graphic. I need to post it. I'll post it on Insta. Came up with this graphic to really say, ask yourself, does this decision bring me closer to my goals or further away from them? that's the fork in the road that we have to ask ourselves for every single decision that we make. And I think you have to ask yourself what your real goal is here. And if your current position, if staying where you are is going to bring you closer to them, it doesn't sound like it's going to. If you have a goal of learning and developing and working your way up, up a firm, it doesn't sound like the structure of what's going on where you are right now is going to facilitate that. It is not going to happen, not because of the business, but because of the leaders here. But this is a failure of leadership, right? This is one of those situations where when you brought up a problem to the founder of the business, what probably happened was that founder communicated that frustration and a problem that needed fixing to these managers. The managers got butthurt because to them, you just went over their heads, even though the founder came in and prompted you to have this conversation, right? Spilling your guts to them probably means that you went behind their back and it's, they feel like they got in trouble now. So it's retribution at this point that they're just trying to run you into the ground for it. And I think you have to look at the dynamic of where you are and really ask yourself, is this role going to bring me closer to my goals? Is this going to enrich my life, or is it moving me further away every day from where I want to be? And it sounds like you're miserable where you are right now. Even though you're working in the field that you want to be in, you're miserable, and you get a little more miserable every day. That's not the kind of environment that is going to move you closer to your goals. If anything, it's going to bring about some level of resentment for the field that you thought you loved and you wanted to get better in. And that's not where you want to be. So that fork in the road, if you stay where you are, you're going to be moving further and further away from your real goal every day. You're going to hate what you think you could potentially love and what you want to get better at. I don't know what your market looks like. If there are other small firms that you could look at applying to, I would explore other opportunities and see what's available for you there. But look at it this way. Even if you end up having to do something different for a while, something unrelated, as long as it is a zero effect on your psyche and on your life, zero is better. Zero is greater than negative one. Right now, what you're doing has a negative effect on your life and on your future. You've got some shite non-leader leaders there. You've got bosses. There's a difference between a boss and a leader. You've got bosses there, not leaders. And that sucks. Not everybody is born to lead. That's 100% true. The fact that you had to ask this question, though, I think says everything that you need to say. Now, as it relates to how you exit, grain of salt here, realize that right now those managers are butthurt. And any kind of constructive criticism that you tried to leave behind is going to get laughed at. They are not going to take it seriously. They are not going to, it's going to be a time investment for you that is not going to be worthy. Now, if the founder actually was genuinely concerned and actually listened to your concerns and was really trying to fix things here, I might leave some constructive criticism for the founder, not criticism of the founder, but criticism of the company and of the managers. I might leave that there because that's the one person who actually has the power to do some stuff for it, who actually has the power to do something about it. This one is from the AITA subreddit and is titled, "Will I be the Askinaut for wanting to make a $10 bet on the big game? I, 26 female, am not a gambler or take bets. The closest thing I've done to this is opening trading cards and playing gacha games. It's also important to note that I don't live in the USA, but the big game will air in my country. First of all, I'm a Taylor Swift fan, and I followed the ongoing romance story since the very beginning when Travis Kelce said something about making Taylor a friendship bracelet on his podcast. So when I heard that his team would be competing for the championship, I was excited for different reasons. Ergo, will Taylor make it to Las Vegas from Japan, the potential drama, etc., etc. Due to this, I wanted to bet like $10 on the game for the Chiefs to win. I don't plan on betting on any other games, and I just want to see if it's even possible. The reason I wanted to do this is because last year, I managed to predict many of the major Oscar winners and felt a bit of FOMO for not putting money where my mouth is, especially when a coworker told me they won $100. I understand that pulp culture is really is like orange juice lovers. I understand that pop culture knowledge is different from sports, but I know I'm just betting against two teams. The same feeling occurred during a national football grand final, and my local team won in their second and third year in a row. However, when I told my boyfriend, 28 male, about this, he wasn't happy about the idea. He knows how obsessed I am with Taylor Swift, like collecting Time Magazine CDs and going to the Eras Tour, and thought that betting on the big game is too much. I argued that we bet $10 each during a major horse racing event and asked, what made this any different? He said, it's because you're doing it because it's Taylor Swift, that we don't even pay for those bets. It was his mom, and apparently it's a citywide tradition. He's also concerned that it's a bad use of money, and I'm better off using it for something else. He did point out that if I were to make a new account in these betting apps, I could get a free play, so I don't have to spend money if I still want to go through with it. But I don't want to get betting email ads and would like to avoid that altogether. I'd rather just enter at my local pub or something. The reason why I think I might be the Askinaut is because of my old gacha addiction that he's aware of. I spent too much money. At one point, I took a cleanse and stopped playing. My partner thinks that what I'm planning to do would be irresponsible and thinks it's a stepping stone for addiction, especially due to this economy. To him, he believes I'm better off saving that money, especially when I just recently found a new job. Will I be the Askinaut for wanting to bet $10 of my own money on the big game? I mean, $10 is a lot of money to some people, to a lot of people, right? And especially if you're in a position of discomfort, which most of us are, then it's a bigger deal than not. However, I think it comes down to this final question and the clarification that came here. It's $10 of her own money. So I understand your, is it fiance, right? Boyfriend. Okay. I understand the boyfriend's resistance or concern, because if you are easily addicted to things, then it could potentially be a slippery slope. But luckily, the big game happens once a year. So if it's just this one thing that you have a strong feeling about, I don't know that would lead to the addiction problem that he's worried about here. I think it's either a green or red flag that he has that concern. I can't decide which. I'm not sure. As long as it doesn't cause you significant pain, or it's money that you have available. And I think when it comes to making bets or doing anything like that, it's you bet what you can afford to lose, right? So if you can afford to lose that $10 and it's not going to have an effect on you, that's your choice. It's your choice. Now, I don't do the sports betting thing either, so I couldn't tell you. But the question here is, will I be the Askinaut for wanting to make a $10 bet, which is a feeling, right? It's not, you're not followed through with a yes. You're not an Askinaut for wanting to. You have that inkling. You have that compulsive urge to do that. And I think that's well within your right to do it. So it's just a matter of, do you follow through with it or not? And it's your money. He's just your boyfriend. You're not married. And even if you were, it would be your choice to do that. It's a minimal impact, hopefully, on your life. And it's something you can afford to lose. Then it's your call. If this boils down to a bigger issue about trust, and if you went through with this, what would happen? And maybe that's the question. If you did follow through with this and you actually did make this bet, what would your boyfriend do? Would it be a ding in trust for the relationship? Would there be some ramifications in the relationship later on from it? And then you have to examine here, is it worth it? Is it worth the risk? And again, like we said earlier, I think you have to ask yourself, does this decision take me closer to my goals or further away from it? And if your goal, one of your goals is to have a healthy relationship with your partner, and this would put a ding in the trust side of things, then you have to account for it. I'm just saying, look at all possible paths here. There could be implications beyond just making a silly little bet. You have to look at the ripple effects of everything here. Am I the Askinaut for making my daughter miss her dance after she made a cake? I, female 39, have a female 17 daughter who I've been struggling to maintain a relationship with lately. About a year ago, I divorced my husband after finding out that he cheated on me for 2 years. We were married for 16 years. I was crushed. She has barely seen her dad since the divorce, aside from her birthday and a couple family events he's invited her to. So I know it's been hard for her. A couple of weeks ago was my 39th birthday. My daughter and I had gotten into a fight because I wanted to take pictures of her and her dance date as the dance was coming up, and she was making a massive deal out of it. So I told my daughter if she wouldn't let me take pictures, I wouldn't let her go to the dance. The morning of my birthday, I woke up to my daughter making a cake. She told me she was making it for my birthday. I was super thankful and happy that this may be a step forward in our relationship. She left for school and told me to eat as much of it as I wanted. So I had a couple slices of cake after lunch, and about 20 minutes later, I got violently sick. When my daughter got home, she asked how my day was. I told her how sick I had been, and she laughed and said, "I guess you can't take pictures now." Ugh. Holy shit, ladies and gentlemen. This was the day before the dance and her pictures. I began to piece together that my daughter may have done something to the cake, but I didn't want to make such an accusation without finding any proof. But I could barely go 20 minutes without clinging to the toilet. What proof do you need? She said what she said. She kind of implicated herself. I dug through the trash and found a bottle of extra strength laxatives that she had pushed down and buried under the rest of the week's trash. It was only about half empty. I confronted my daughter and she admitted to lacing the cake with laxative because I was pissing her TF off with this stupid picture shit. I absolutely lost my mind on her, maybe more than I should have, and refused to let her go to the dance. It's been a couple of weeks, and I indeed did follow through and make her miss the dance. She hasn't spoken to me, and she has stayed up in her room most nights. I feel awful for making her miss it, but I was sick for days after what she did, and quite frankly, I'm still livid. I feel that this was a step off the ledge for our relationship. Am I the Askenot for this? No. What? No. Look at it this way, OP. If you did not punish this and punish this severely, she was going to think it's okay to poison people and their food when she's not getting her way. You had to send a strong message through here that this is 100% not okay. I'm worried that you didn't create enough pain. Honestly, what you made a laxative cake for your mom just so she wouldn't want to take pictures. So a minor inconvenience to you, child, warranted you to create a laxative cake so your mom would be shitting her brains out for days? You are willing to do that to your own damn mother for a minor inconvenience to yourself? Mom, look, if you don't shut this shit down and cause enough pain to show her that this is not okay, not now, not ever, in any way, shape, or form to someone, it's going to get worse. She's going to escalate and escalate and escalate. And the fact that she was willing to do this to another human being, period, scares the shit out of me for her future. I'd be pissed and shitting. Hey, who knows what else she's done? Really, if she, this may be an escalation because she's already done other things to other people. I think you need OP. Listen, OP, listen here. I'm going to get a little bit closer here. This is as far as my microphone will go. OP, I need you to listen to me. If you do not change course for your child right now, she's going to end up in prison because she's done some stupid shit to someone who inconvenienced her. This is a huge frickin' deal, okay? We've got to do something about this. Pain creates change. You have a massive amount of change to create here. There has to be a massive amount of pain created to create this kind of change. Also, girl needs therapy. On top of anything else that you're doing, girl needs therapy. The fact that this was just okay to her is terrifying. This is terrifying. I mean, teenagers are, you know, they have their opinions on things that they're not afraid to show. And they make big deals out of little things. But at her age, she's 17, right? She damn well knows better. And also, she could probably be tried as an adult now. So you need to explain to her that if she pulled this shit to someone else, or because she pulled this shit, she is open up to, she could be criminally charged. Show her what's possible. I don't know, but there needs to be a shock to the system here that shows her the kind of shit she can get herself into should she continue down this path. It is not okay. And there needs to be more punishment than just missing a freaking dance. Device needs to go away for long enough to create pain. There needs to be pain created here. Give her the scared straight experience here, because this is, at 17, she could, depending on where you're at, be tried in as adult here. Therapy, 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 therapy. Also, kid gets home that day.
Mom says, I've been sick all day. Daughter laughs and says, oh, I guess you can't take pictures now. That's maniacal. That is malicious. That is malicious intent. Somebody laughs at your pain that they caused on your birthday. That is malicious intent. Something's wrong. The Effulgent One says, I can't even fathom. It reminds me of the beginning of Dahmer.
OP, someone just said that what your kid did reminds them of the beginning of Dahmer. Fix that shit.
Am I the astronaut for refusing to cook for my adult daughter because she is too picky and doesn't appreciate my cooking? I, 53 male, love to cook. There will be days where I spend all day in the kitchen, all day to make a big meal, and I will do it happily. My wife, 50 female, can cook when I'm not around, but honestly, I can't think of any time when she has made anything because I always want to do it. And that's fine by me as long as I feel appreciated for it. I have a 24-year-old son, Eric. My wife has a 19-year-old daughter, Liz, from previous marriages. And now we have a 15-year-old son, David, together. Eric lives with us for now to save up money while he works but still pays rent. He will eat literally anything with the exception of hating blue cheese. David likes pretty much everything but is allergic to eggs. I can work around those constraints pretty easily when I cook. Liz is a different story. She has always been kind of picky with the food she dislikes, but it has gotten way worse. She went to college for a semester and then dropped out, so now she is living at home. And while she was away, she developed some terrible pickiness. She has had stints of being a vegan, being vegetarian, being grain-free, pasta-free, oil-free, etc., but she isn't consistent about it. I try to help meet her needs, but on any given day, she has something new to complain about with the food that I want to cook. Sometimes she and I will debate for hours about what to make, with me basically saying, tell me what you want for dinner that will work for you, and I will cook it, so long as it meets the other kids' restrictions, and she is so unhelpful with this. 2 nights ago, I cooked a dish that Liz told me looked good in a book. We all sat down for dinner and everybody loved it except Liz. She complained that she didn't realize there were peanuts in the recipe, and peanuts are so unhealthy for us, so she doesn't think she can eat it, and can I make her something else? I was fed up and told her, no, you can eat this or you will eat nothing. I'm done having to deal with your pickiness and criticism of my cooking. I will no longer be taking any of your feedback on what you want for dinner and will be cooking what everybody else wants. You can either eat that or cook yourself something else. She started crying and said that I take the other kids' restrictions on what to eat. So why can't I do the same for her? I reminded her that Eric only dislikes a single thing that I don't care for either, so there's no risk of it popping into a dish. And if David has eggs, he will probably die. So it's not the same as her vetoing every single thing I want to make. My wife took her side and said that I'm being too sensitive and mean because Liz is not my real daughter and I am showing favoritism. This is bullshit, by the way. I told my wife that she can cook Liz meals if she wants, as if, but I'm not going out of my way to meet her needs. Am I the ass cannot? I think the deal breaker or the deal sealer for me here was OP, even in the heat of the moment, saying you can eat what we make, or you can make something yourself. It is not a, you're going to eat what we got, or you're going to go hungry. It is a, look, I'm trying to work with you here. And that's the other side of this, is that it's not like OP was just saying, take it or leave it, and not trying to work with her at all. It was the one meal she said she chose, she wouldn't eat. Well, you chose it. You said this looks good. Okay, made this from the book. Oh, it's got peanuts in it. Okay, well, that's fine, but you don't need it. I'm not going to make something else for you. You can make something else yourself. That is a choice. It is a choice on her part to do that. Now, if she is trying different dietary restrictions because she has a reason to and she's trying to figure out what works well with her body, that's a different kind of deal. And taking that journey together as a parent with a child, I think is important. But at 17, she is taking that journey herself, right? Was it 17 or 19? 19. At 19, it's a different kind of deal. She's charting her own course here. If she is trying to figure out what works well for her body, dietary wise, he's willing to take the input here, but he needs information. Like without any information, there's nothing to work with. If you're just going to be like, I don't know. And then when the meal gets there, I'd be like, yeah, no, can you make me something else? No, you can make something yourself. That is the deal sealer for me that puts OP in NTA land here, because you're trying. And yes, you got to this breaking point where you're like, all right, screw it. I'm not taking any more feedback. I'm going to make what I make. And if you don't want it, you can make yourself something else. Leaving that door open, and at 19 years old, she's capable of making something else for herself if she wants to, is enough of an accommodation. Now, if she ends up deciding something and identifying that she has this X sensitivity or X allergy or whatever it is and informs you of that, I'm sure you will take it into consideration. But right now it's experimentation, and experimentation is hard to keep up with, especially if it's not communicated with you. You're just supposed to guess and guess something different every day. That sounds like a fun game. Let me just beat my head against the wall a different way every day. And that'd be about the same kind of feeling. Am I wrong for ending a 20-year marriage because I learned my wife cheated on me while we were dating? Sirens were real, not a sound effect. My wife, 44 female, and I, 43 male, have been married 20 years. We started dating in high school when I was a junior and she was a senior. We were long distance for her first 2 years of college while I was in high school and did 1 year at community college. Then we went to college in the same city for a year and have lived together since. We got married the summer after I graduated college. Our marriage has been pretty great so far, but I initiated a divorce after I discovered that she was sleeping with multiple other men for the 2 years that we were long distance. Just after Christmas, we got together with a few friends of hers from college to catch up, have dinner, and hang out. We talked about a lot of stuff, and my wife mentioned that we met in high school. Not that we dated, just that we met. Her old college roommate commented that it was crazy that we met in high school, had a few wild years in college, and then ended up together. Rut-row.
Like, oh no, Scoob. Like you're about to find something out you weren't supposed to. Like, let's go make some sandwiches.
I played along and commented that I didn't know if my wife was as crazy as I was. The roommate started to tell a story, but my wife cut her off and said she was uncomfortable about it. I sensed something was up, so I said that we actually started dating in high school and were together for my wife's entire time at college. All of my wife's friends got real quiet, and the rest of the dinner was awkward. On the way out, one of her other roommates took me aside and said that I should have an honest conversation about what happened at college. I asked my wife on the way home, and she kind of blew me off. I told her it was important that she was honest with me, and again, she said it wasn't important. When we got home, I told her I was going to stay at my brother's house until she was ready to talk about what happened in college. The next day, she came over and admitted to sleeping with several men during her first 2 years at college. She said she didn't consider it a big deal at the time because we were long distance and she didn't think a high school romance would last. I pressed for more details and she said it was at least 10 different men, including at least 3 guys she introduced me to as friends when I visited her on weekends, and one guy she was still in contact with. I told her that I wanted a divorce and would be starting the paperwork as soon as I could, which I did on January 2nd. Her family and most of my family are telling me I shouldn't throw away my marriage over a few mistakes. I've stood by my belief that cheating on me with multiple men for years is unacceptable no matter when it happened, and the fact that she continued to maintain relationships with these guys right in front of me was an unacceptable amount of disrespect. We have 2 children, but they are 17 and 19, and I believe they will understand why I need to end the marriage. Am I wrong for leaving? I feel like I'm going crazy with the number of people telling me to overlook years of infidelity and decades of lies. We have edits and updates and stuff here, so I'm just going to dive right into them, but I've got thoughts. I have thoughts. Edit. Holy shit, I'm glad I did this with a throwaway because the response here is unexpected. I obviously can't answer every question or comment, but I wanted to provide some detail for common questions. The reason I posted this is that my wife and a few friends have been saying it's common to sleep with other folks when you're in a long-distance relationship, and that I'm kind of the odd one for not sleeping around. I feel like I was being gaslit, but I wanted an outside perspective. We live in a state with a waiting period to finalize a divorce, so it felt like a reasonable idea to get some insight before things are finalized. After these comments, I see a handful of folks saying it's normal to sleep around during a long-distance relationship, but it seems to be a significant minority. We saw each other a couple of weekends a month during the 2-year college period. I lived about 3 hours away from her college, so it was long distance, but not like cross country. This was not a situation where we went months without seeing each other. The three guys I met while she was in college were meetups that happened during parties. The subject of me being a boyfriend didn't really come up, so I honestly don't know if these guys knew anything. The one guy we're still in contact with married a mutual friend from college. This is not some guy she secretly messages on the side. It's somebody we've talked to regularly for years. I've talked to him a few times since I've learned about my wife. He said he didn't know we were dating at the time and has since blocked my wife on social media. Some folks have asked how the roommates didn't realize at our wedding that the timelines didn't work out. The main reason is that my wife and I had a very small ceremony with just close family in Texas, then went back to the East Coast to have a big party with friends. The typical reception slash sharing details about how we met stuff didn't really happen, so her roommates didn't realize we started dating before college. It sounds like they thought we only dated for the year we were both in the same city, then moved in together. I was open to therapy or some kind of attempt to save the marriage, but her insistence that this whole thing is common and that I'm the one who's out of line is just too much for me. The only time she showed any remorse or even offered to reconcile was when I started filing paperwork. And the last week, she's gone back to saying she's right and I'm overreacting. This is also why I feel like I'm being gaslit. It seems obvious that this is a major issue, but I've got my wife and others telling me it's normal and I'm overreacting. I'm not getting a paternity test unless my kids want to get one. I don't have any doubts that they are biologically mine and no test will make them not my kids. I love them more than anything in the world and my wife's infidelity won't change that even if one or both of them is not biologically mine. They've been my kids for 19 years and they will be my kids until I stop breathing. Final edit. Hey all, I've been reading a bunch of the responses, but things are getting crazy and increasingly unhinged, so I probably won't be checking in more. Here are a few more answers to common questions I've seen. We were definitely exclusively dating at the time. First, dating culture was a lot different 20-ish years ago, and exclusive was kind of the default for most people. Second, we had a long and difficult discussion before she left for college about continuing the relationship long distance. She specifically wanted to stay together and even joked about her dad coming after me if I started sleeping around with girls at my school. Finally, at my senior prom, she was not able to attend and was very upset when I proposed going with a platonic female friend of mine. As a result, I ended up skipping my prom and hanging out with her instead. While we never said the word exclusive, I think the above reasons combined with the general relationship before she left are enough to assume exclusivity. Based on some comments here, I followed up with a friend who said I should have an honest conversation. She told me that 10 guys would be on the low end and that her biggest concern was that there was apparently at least one pregnancy scare that I didn't know about. I honestly don't think that really changes much. It's less about the number for me and more about the fact that she seems incapable of recognizing why this was wrong or why I feel betrayed. Thank you all for the helpful responses, even those who disagree with me. I will still be open to therapy if she's willing, but I honestly feel like it would be more about us being successful co-parents and finding closure than saving our marriage. And we're going to dive into some relevant comments too. Oh, there's another update after the relevant comments. Relevant comments. It would change a lot if I felt that she wanted to fix this. Throughout our conversation about it, she repeatedly dismissed my feelings and told me I was overreacting to totally normal behavior. She didn't show any regret or consideration for how it hurt me until she realized I was serious about divorce, and then she got defensive and angry. She didn't offer to fix things in any way until I started the paperwork and notified her that I had a lawyer. I think we can navigate being parents. Our kids are older, and I've been putting away money for college and post-high school for a long time, so a lot of the custody and monetary issues that come up shouldn't be a big problem. We're also both financially stable and make good money. I have some doubts about our marriage now, but those are my kids. My son looks like my younger clone, and my daughter also bears a huge familial resemblance. I will be honest, even if a DNA test showed zero chance they were mine, I would never, ever say a damn thing about it, and I would still love them every ounce as much. I've hired a lawyer, he drafted an intent to separate, and sent her a copy via certified mail. As far as I know, that's not any legal divorce paper with the state, but rather a part of the process to ensure that she has an opportunity to hire her own lawyer if she wants to contest it. Actually, going through the divorce will likely take months. I'm not really moved out. I've been crashing at my brother's place while I make arrangements for a more permanent living scenario. As far as timing goes, the dinner happened on the 26th. I went to my brother's house that night to cool off and to give her a chance to think about things. We've talked several times over the course of 4 to 5 days, and she made it clear that she didn't believe she did anything wrong. If there was any kind of remorse or regret or basic consideration of my feelings on her part, I probably would have waited. However, she didn't. So I found a divorce lawyer, and he had boilerplate intent to separate agreements that we filled out and sent over the same day. Even now, we're obviously not legally divorced, and I don't even know if there is a legal concept of separation in my state, but I've made it clear that this is happening and started the process.
Update February 5th,
2024, 28 days after the original, right? And 2 days ago. I wanted to provide some updates here as my original post got a lot of traction. My wife and I are seeing a couples counselor and have been to 3 sessions now. Based on what my original post outlined and what we talked about in counseling, I'm still moving forward with the divorce. I believe that counseling was the right move and I appreciate folks for recommending it. I don't think it's going to save our marriage, but it has helped me communicate my feelings, helped my wife understand where I'm coming from, and most importantly, helped us be in a position to work together as co-parents. First, let's talk about the things I learned about the situation in college. After talking to my wife in sessions and texting with 2 of her roommates, it's clear that her roommates knew something was up in college. They said they thought the situation was weird and likely involved cheating. My wife had told them that we both had some wild times in college and worked it out before we got married, so they never really brought it up. The roommate who pulled me aside recently was uncomfortable with the fact that my wife clearly didn't talk it through with me and wanted me to know. As far as being introduced to guys she slept with, apparently that was not intended. For one of the guys, he ended up dating and then marrying one of our mutual friends from college. This is the guy she was in contact with. In the other situations, she initially blamed me in the counseling session, but has now agreed it was bad. When I went to visit her, she planned to hang out in the room or just hang out together alone, but I wanted to go to a few parties because in high school and community college, I didn't really have parties to go to. She didn't expect me to meet the guys, but they were at the parties and she felt like she didn't really have a choice. I still think this is kind of shitty, but it's not as bad as her intentionally parading me in front of the guys. Most of our discussion in therapy has been talking about why I think it's a big deal and she doesn't. She initially said that none of these guys were in relationships with her and it was mostly one-night stands or FWB, friends with benefits. Since she didn't view them as romantic relationships, she didn't see the big deal. Her words, not mine. My opinion is that we never said that was okay, and she actively prevented me from doing the same. After digging into this across 2 sessions and my wife talking to some friends, she now agrees that it was a breach of our trust and relationship. This is the shared understanding that has helped us talk about this situation more honestly and helped us get from arguing to talking, which is why I'm optimistic about co-parenting. Now, here's why I'm 100% set on divorce. 2 things came up that made me want to leave the marriage. First, about 10 years ago, we went through a really rough patch and had a dead bedroom for about 2 years. She had expressed that our sex life was becoming boring, so I tried to spice things up. Nothing crazy, just role play and Spencer's Gift level toys. Apparently, she had been hung up on some sexual experiences that happened in college that she is not comfortable talking about and wanted me to try them. When I did, it made her feel awkward and guilty that it made her think of other men while she was with me. The fact that she's saying these experiences were meaningless, but they're still impacting our marriage tells me they meant more than she wants to say. Second, she admitted that she has been flirting with coworkers on business trips since the pandemic ended. She says she has never slept with anybody, but it has gone as far as going on a date with one of her male coworkers. That was an absolute deal breaker for me. We have told our children that we're getting a divorce. We told them it was due to some bad decisions that we made in college and that we're having trouble moving past. My 19-year-old, who was in college, asked me if I cheated on my wife while she was away at college. My wife got a little shaken up, but admitted to the kids that she's the one who cheated. We have agreed to not share any additional details with the kids. I reinforced that both of us will be there for the kids and that we are in therapy to help make sure we can handle this in the best way for the family. I also told the kids if they wanted to talk to either of us or a therapist about it, I would fully support it. We started talking to a mediator about how to proceed with the divorce, and unless things change, we should be able to have an amicable divorce. We're both financially stable on our own, we have no major debts, and our kids are older, so custody isn't a major issue. This has been a shitty couple of months for me, but I'm doing okay now, and I honestly am grateful that my last post blew up because it both validated some of my feelings, but also motivated me to go to counseling with my wife. That was a ride. Yeah, Frances, yeah. It's like she went on a date with somebody in the past couple of years. Obviously, the fact that it happened, the college shit, all of it. Obviously, the fact that it happened is bad. What's worse to me is that she keeps sticking to her guns and she's like, no, you're the weird one for not doing it. You're overreacting. Of course, you're being gaslit. Of course, when people get exposed, they freak out. Of course they freak out. And in this case, she's just like, yeah, it's no big deal. No, of course. Okay. The problem with it being no big deal to you, soon to be ex-wife, is that that same level of thinking is what has you flirting with coworkers, going on a date with a coworker on a trip in the past couple of years. Yeah, so your level of acceptable loyalty is fudged. There's no line. It's like just a very blurry gray area for her. And that to me, people have their own feelings about what's acceptable and what's not within a relationship. This would be an absolute deal breaker for me, because from the very beginning and since then, he was lied to. And if she had shown remorse, say, if it had been like a, oh my God, like, I'm so, so sorry. Let's talk through it. Let's go to counseling. Let's move past this. I was wrong. Like, accepted any level of accountability here. The only time she accepted any accountability whatsoever was when she reluctantly told her kids because they were thinking it was him. That's the only time in any of this story that I saw her accept any kind of accountability. And that wasn't even to her partner. That was to the kids. Wow. If there had been any remorse, he would have been willing to work on things, but there wasn't. And it becomes very clear that her level of loyalty is just warped. Her worldview on this is warped. The shitty hypocritical thing for me, though, is that if he did this, she would absolutely have a problem with it, because in college, she actively had a problem with the thought of him seeing other girls, even going to prom with another girl. Meanwhile, she's with... It's hypocritical. It's a breach of trust. It's hypocritical. It is an inability to be accountable whatsoever. She wanted to have her fun while he waited for her. Sure. And you know what? The fact that it happened is a separate deal than her gaslighting him into thinking that it's normal. Those are two separate deals. And she was hypocritical about it because she didn't want him to do anything. If she had been honest about it from the get-go, or even honest about it whenever it came up and showed remorse and decided to work on things, it would be a completely different scenario. It is her still clinging to this policy of hers that has her going on dates with coworkers, even if as recent as a couple of years ago, that is the problem. And OP recognizing it, being like, yeah, okay, it's a complete lack of respect. Complete. It's an imbalance of respect, put it that way. This relationship is imbalanced because they have different worldviews of what's acceptable and what's not when it comes to loyalty, and neither one are willing to budge. So, impasse. Hey, Dusty Thunder here, and I wanted to thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed that content, and if you did, please make sure to like, subscribe, and most importantly, share. Also, you can find swag and so much more at dusty-thunder.com, and you'll find even more content on all of our platforms. We're on TikTok, YouTube. We now have an official Facebook page that we'll be posting stories to as well. We have podcasts on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and so much more. You can see all of our content platforms on Linktree, which is linked in my bio. Engage with us wherever you're enjoying content, and do your best to avoid the Askenauts today. Thanks again.